Blog Talk Radio.
This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to For Radio, a media platform for created to elevate and empower ambassadors universally. It's PTSD Awareness Month, and I want to introduce to you your host, Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD, Marie Waldrop. Marie, go ahead and take it.
Thank you, Maria. I'd like to first say if there's any callers, if you have any questions anytime during the show, please press 1 and our producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will answer your call. I am Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD. Our platforms are used through charities or causes that our program ambassadors care deeply about. Once chosen as a local or state ambassador, we use our structure to address community service organizations, business leaders, media, and other venues about the platform which we promote throughout our appointments. I chose PTSD because I am passionate about helping others who have endured many forms of trauma, such as domestic and sexual abuse, for years, as I have. Promoting and educating others on the effects of the debilitating PTSD is very important. You should never tell us to just get over it. If it was that simple, we wouldn't need to provide help so others can start their journey in their wholeness. At this time, I would like to introduce you to our guest and ambassador sister, Miss Washington Ambassador for PTSD, Renee Hamlet. Renee, are you there?
Hey, I am.
Hey there. I'm so happy you're with us today.
So am I. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I would like you to tell us a little bit of when you were diagnosed with PTSD. How long it's been.
Okay. Well, I was having some issues for about 10 years or more. And in 2019, I went to go see a therapist to talk about the severe anxiety and depression I was feeling. When I got in there, I kind of just opened my mouth and everything spilled out. And this was initial like diagnosis meeting. And me and her talked and she's like, I think you have complex PTSD. And she told me about it. And it comes from being in an abusive relationship when I was in high school that lasted into my early 20s, and then being in another abusive relationship when I hit my early 30s, and I think that lasted about 5 years or so. On top of that, I was also in a horrible car accident where I was put into a coma and broke tons of bones, and that also added to my PTSD. So for me, so there's two different types of PTSD. There's PTSD and complex PTSD. Complex PTSD is when you've had multiple traumas over and over again, like being in the sex trade, abusive relationships that last so long. And then PTSD usually stems from one traumatic event. So I have complex PTSD from all the events that I have had.
Wow, that's definitely a lot. I think a lot of us can relate to that. I definitely had more than one abuser, and it was often, so often, and people just don't understand the severity of how it lasts, and they think they often tell us, you should just get over it, and that's
not a good thing.
Right. Yes. So that's one of the worst things you could say to somebody like you and I. I have another question for you. How has the trauma affected your life?
Well, A lot. It's affected my life a lot. So since my first abusive relationship was basically my first relationship, and I was still young, I was under the age of 18, it kind of molded my brain to, even though I knew what was happening was wrong, it kind of seemed like it helped me get into other bad relationships, and it crushed my self-esteem. So I didn't feel like I was good enough. I didn't feel like I was pretty enough, smart enough, you name it. Like, I believed everything they told me when they said I wasn't good enough. And so that really affected my life in every aspect when it came to school, when it came to work, when it came to friendships, relationships, just pretty much everything. I couldn't live up to what I thought, you know, I needed to, because I was told it was never good enough. So I always had bad relationships, bad friendships. I hid my fears and my insecurities, which built up after a while. And you tend to crack and just can't take anymore. And that's where I was, you know, about 2 years ago.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Has it affected the way you feel? I mean, of course it has. But, I mean, you know, could you elaborate on that a little bit, how it's affected the way you feel?
Yeah, it made me, because I felt like I wasn't good enough, it made me incredibly shy. So, for example, like in school, like I couldn't get up and talk to anybody. I couldn't do presentations. I would feel like if anything I did, people were judging me, even though they probably weren't. So it just did a really hard number on my self-esteem, which made me kind of paralyzed in the fact where I couldn't get out and do things because I was too terrified to.
Right. I totally relate to that. I used to have to... have somebody go with me when I went to the grocery store, because I would, like you said, get that paralyzing fear.
Yes.
And I would have like a breakdown right there in the store if I couldn't see the person that was with me. And
yeah, exactly.
I know that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I even sometimes couldn't make certain phone calls to, like, if it was to pay a bill or something like that, because I was so terrified to talk to other people.
And so that brings us into how your friendships have suffered. But like you said earlier, you would often pick toxic friendships.
Yeah, I kept going into toxic friendships that, you know, led me down paths that I wish, you know, I didn't have to go to. I was never able to get really close to anybody and open up to them about what was going on. So when something bad would happen into my life, I didn't really have a good support team. Thankfully, though, I have met a great girl, you know, great group of people now, and that's all changed. But not being able to have that support and that type of friendship, especially when you're going through PTSD, is incredibly hard, and I don't wish on anybody else.
Right. It pretty much makes you feel alone and isolated.
Yeah.
Exactly. If I can interject here a little bit, ladies, I'm listening to you, and I'm just honored and blessed because, Renee, thank you for being a part of what FOR is and what we've created it, because it is that safe place for women who truly understand. And I'm listening to you both, and just know that there are others out there listening that have never spoke about these things that they are going through. So the education that you are giving them, I'm thanking you for it in advance. Please continue.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Renee, are you still able to have feelings for loved ones?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Are you still able to have feelings for your loved ones? Has it affected you? To have feelings for your family?
I can. At first, you know, before I got diagnosed, I had a hard time even trusting family. My abuse didn't come from them. And I really couldn't talk to them, especially to my mom, because it was just too hard to open up about that type of stuff. And I know that it would just devastate them. But, you know, since I've come forward with everything, my relationship with them have gotten actually stronger, too.
Well, that that leads me into my next question that I'm going to ask is, has your family been supportive to you?
Yes. Thankfully, I've been blessed with a great family, and I've had them be super supportive. My mom knows not to dig in too deep about what happened in my therapy sessions if I come home upset or something, and she knows, you know, to give me space. When I'm ready to come talk to her, I'll come talk to her, and that's really what, you know, somebody in my position needs. We don't want to be forced to talk about what has happened or have somebody come up and tell us, you know, like, you can get over it. It's not worth it. Don't give them the power. Just none of that stuff helps. My family is aware of that. And so they give me the space I need just to feel comfortable. When I'm ready, I can come talk to them about it.
Well, that is so awesome, because there's so many that don't have that support. But like Maria said, this platform and the ambassador program, which I am so blessed beyond measure to be part of, they give you that support. As in my situation, I never really had, you know, from family. Do you ever get numb because of the things you endured, your abusive relationships?
Yeah, I think now I've gotten better at it. But before, I would get numb a lot, and I would get numb to situations where I shouldn't have gotten numb. I should have gotten mad. But because I was so used to the abuse that when something bad would happen, it wouldn't affect me like it should have. I just shut down. I didn't think about it. I just let it happen. Through therapy, I've been able to get past that now.
I can totally relate with that, but it took me like many, many years. I would often go to my therapist and ask her, can you please help me feel? Because that's how numb I had become.
To
everything. I had no feeling whatsoever. And people confuse that. I mean, yes, I could feel like if, you know, somebody touched me on my shoulder or something like that, but it was like the internal numbness, where you had no feeling to anything, like where things you should normally be able to laugh at, I couldn't feel that energy, you know. I wasn't able to laugh, and things that normally people would cry about, I wasn't able to shed any tears over, or, you know, so on and so forth.
I know exactly how you feel.
Go ahead.
Sorry, it's me again. I wanted to interject there a little bit. This is part of the problem on why, when I went to therapy, this is Maria, by the way, is that I didn't understand why they wanted to give me a medication that was going to make me not feel.
Yeah. Okay?
Because there were so many years that I was just a walking dead person. Until you truly start to understand, until you truly start to understand that you're, and here is the second part of my butting in here, is I've heard both of you say this a couple times, that people have told you to get over it, okay? I love when people say that, get over it. Well, in the Bible, on Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through it, not get over it. Too many women try to get over it, and it doesn't work. Why? Because it is written. How funny is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. People think the shadow of death is death. No, it's that walking out of the walking dead space. You see? You have to walk through it, not get over it. So next time someone tells you, hey, get over it, say, you know what? It's walk through it, not crawl through it, not stop at the door and don't go through it, not run through it, because I'm telling you, ladies, every single woman I've ever coached that has run through it has dropped something, and guess what happens? you have to go back. So it's yay, yeah. though I walk through. You never, ever have to get over it again. However, most women, and this is again why I'm going to interrupt here and tell you how grateful I am for this show, because most women won't go through the pain of walking through it. They'd rather stay in the pain that they're in. Well, you know what? It's a difficult choice to make that choice to walk out of one pain and into another. But whoa, there's a light on the end of the other. Is it going to hurt? Yes, it sucks. It sucks big time to walk through it. But whoa, and it's even better when you have women like you two that are stepping up and using your voices and letting other people hear that they are not alone. So again, thank you. I'm going mute again.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Renee, I have another question for you. Do you find yourself losing track of time?
Yeah, that was a big thing for me. That was huge. And, you know, it's weird. Before I got diagnosed, I had all these symptoms and things happening to me that I couldn't explain, and I couldn't figure out why these things were happening to me. And yeah, that was one of them, losing track of time. When I was diagnosed and she was telling me the symptoms of it, I felt such relief that now I know why that was happening.
Right. Yeah, a big one for me was also losing track of time, or I was just
Can you give me an example of what that means? What does that mean when you're losing track of time?
You kind of like, or for me, I just kind of went off in a day somewhere, and it could have been like maybe 12 o'clock noon, and then the next thing I know, it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, that track of time. I don't really know where you went. You really don't remember.
Yeah. You don't remember really what happened or what was going on. It's just like you're kind of sleepwalking.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for that explanation. Sorry for interrupting again.
Oh, no problem. There's, you know, I appreciate you actually asking us questions and interjecting there, because like you said earlier, there's so many people that don't understand this, and you know, for us to be able to talk about it and share our experiences, you know, I think it will be so helpful to others, because they'll say, hey, you know, I did that and I never knew what was going on, but now I do. Maybe I need to go get therapy now, or, you know, if I'm not ready for therapy, maybe I'll keep listening to shows like this, you know?
Yeah. Remember, Renee, when I told you when we first started talking, and I said what the Ambassador Program is truly all about is I've got all these little girlfriends that are speaking for that aspect of my soul that's never been able to speak.
Yes.
This is why I've been waiting for you two, and I've been waiting for you, Renee, forever, because Marie is so blessed, and she is such a blessing. And I cannot wait to just have everyone listen to this show, because you're right, Marie. There's so many of us. I'm one of them. This is why I want you guys to use your voice, because there's so many of us that won't or can't, for whatever reason. Not that we're not strong, because you know that's not the truth. But everybody's story is different. So use your voices and thank you, because I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. So thank you. That is what Four is about. Both of you are a force to promote action. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm very honored to be a part of this.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm very blessed to be a part of the Ambassador Program. I'm very blessed that Renee has come along, and whenever I finally actually talked to her in person, I'm like,
yes.
Oh my gosh, you know, there's so much more we have in common than I realized.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's very humbling and rewarding actually to know that there is somebody like me, you know?
Yes, and, exactly.
So I do have a couple, I think about two more questions.
Okay.
If that's okay. How has trauma affected your physical health?
Oh, man. That one's a huge one. This might take a while. For years, like I said, my first traumatic abusive relationship was when I was a little bit under the age of 18. By the time I hit 21, usually that was about the time the relationship was over, I was in a horrible car accident, which also caused more PTSD. I started having horrible health problems. First, it went with my stomach, and I had a bleeding ulcer. And then I was getting these pains everywhere, these horrible headaches. And especially for the last, 3 years, I've been having a lot of tests done on me to try to figure out what's going on. They can't figure out why I'm having all these pains, why I always seem to feel like I'm going to faint, why I'm having horrible stomach issues. My abdomen will swell up. These horrible headaches that I just can't get rid of. And I was finally diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And doing research, I actually found out that some people who have fibromyalgia got it because of trauma. So there is a lot of people who have PTSD who also have fibromyalgia or will be diagnosed with it later in life. So having PTSD just isn't a mental thing. It goes around and it's completely physical too. Like it touches every aspect of your life more than you probably could imagine.
Yeah, and that's another thing that people don't realize, how much physically it affects you. Like you, I also have fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis. And orthopedic doctor, one thing he told me, he said, no more abusive relationships. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't plan on it.
Yeah, when I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, he found out about my abuse, and he's like, you're going to have to cut people out of your life that upset you, because when you're in a stressful relationship or friendship or anything like that, it's going to trigger your fibromyalgia, it's going to trigger your trauma, so no more of those people.
Right, it makes you flare up, especially if your stress level gets so high, it makes you have those flare-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's bad. I've had flares before, and it's not fun.
Okay,
and
so
like
ladies,
you and
why don't you explain?
About, why don't you explain
what a flare up is? What does that mean when you get a flare up?
That's where your body gets inflamed. The tissues and the muscles and everything just starts. It gets inflamed. If that makes sense, go ahead.
It makes sense. And the reason I'm asking you is because, you know, there's a lot of things I have never shared with you, Maureen, but you're right. I've been through a year and a half of, well, a year and 4 months of nothing but what, right? And so
right.
You forget. Here's the great thing. When you walk through healing and God gives you a certain amount of time without these quote-unquote symptoms, right? Because I truly believe our bodies speak to us, right? We internalize our stress. If you're a woman like me, and what happens? Your body breaks down.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay. and the other day, I have forgotten what a flare-up felt like. And I'm trying to explain to the lady. I said, do you understand? Have you ever had surgery? She goes, no, I'm only 23. Okay, why am I talking to you? I thought to myself, dear Lord, help me, okay? And I said, all right, well, when you're in surgery, if you have any kind of surgery done to your abdominal cavity, they fill you up with air. And it causes this pain after surgery that I can't, that only if you've had it can I explain it to you, and I feel it all in my muscles. Every muscle I have feels like it's loaded with that gas they fill you up in with surgery. Now,
wow.
Does that kind of explain it?
Yeah.
I would say so. It's like when I was talking to Renee the other day, I had told her, you know, like sometimes when I have a flare-up, if somebody gives me a hug, I hurt. So in my real bad in my chest and you know on my shoulders and my legs and stuff like that, and it's I could just accidentally brush over my chest cavity or whatever, and I'm like, oh my god, it feels like somebody has just beat the daylights out of me. And
When I get a flare up, a lot of the times it has to do with my skin. So even wearing clothes, and if my clothes is too tight, it rubs against my skin, that is just super painful.
That's bad. Anyway, it's like I said, it's important to understand what that truly means. What a flare-up. It can mean different for everybody, but it is just an intense pain that is in every muscle of your body. It just really affects every muscle of your body. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
And all you want to do is just go to sleep and be left alone.
Exactly.
When you're asleep, you kind of get a little sense of relief, you know. But then when you wake up, you're like, oh, geez, it's still there.
But wow, I mean, I don't know how women do these pills, man. That muscle relaxer, I agree, they're great, okay, but wow, they just knock you out. You can't function, okay? It's just, but I'm glad I'm taking them right now, but I can't foresee myself taking them. I've got to get through this, right? I can't foresee that. They just wear you out.
They do. But sometimes if you have to take them for a long period of time, they work, but then it don't affect you the same way, if that makes sense. And then they have to do something different, you know?
No. And more drugs. Okay. Let's talk about pills. Okay. No, I can't do it, ladies. I can't. Anyway, continue.
Okay, I did have one last question that I was going to ask you, Renee, and that's how do you deal with triggers? Like if something triggers you from the trauma you endured?
Well, that is one that I'm still learning about, but I have these little trinkets that I keep with me in case, like especially when I'm driving, I have this tiny little disco ball that came from my mirror. And for some reason, that calms me down. So if I'm driving in an area where I used to be with one of my abusers, my anxiety gets really bad and I start to travel back to that time. I focus on that disco ball because usually when the sun's out, it hits it and it makes my car look like a dance floor. For some reason, that's very calming to me. So I also have other things I carry with me. So when I start feeling like I'm being triggered, I do the whole rubbing thing, or I smell something like the smell of rose or lavender or vanilla usually help ground me. And grounding is it's a technique that you use to pull yourself back to the time that you're at now, not the time when you're in the presence of your abuser. Like doing the touch, the smell, sometimes counting helps. But it usually depends on what the trigger was. But those are the few of my go-to ones.
Okay, those are really good. I mean, for me, if I'm at home, a lot of times I'll light a candle, and I know Maria from Kim relate to that. Love my candles.
Okay, there's this one candle. Okay, there's this one candle, and it comes from Walmart. Okay, and the smell is probably why I've gained weight. Right. It's candied caramel pecan, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Renee. Okay.
Yeah.
When you walk into the office over here, and I, you know, because the smell is so bad, you know, big that I can just leave the candle open and the room smells. My office smells like it.
Oh, really?
It just feels like this warm hug. Okay. This is
warm
hug.
Oh, I'm going to have to go to Walmart and get me one of these candles.
I'm telling you, right. It's candied caramel pecan. And I'm not really a pecan person, right? But, oh, this smell, I'm telling you, it's good. But I noticed that, this is what I noticed, because here's my biggest sin. Are you ready? Peanut M&M's. Okay. Okay. I'm not into wine, not into drinking alcoholics. And Marie will tell you about the whole alcohol thing another time, but peanut M&M's. And if I have that candle burning, I notice that I'll eat the peanut M&M's. But if I have like summer breeze, okay, that, forget it. I don't want any M&M's when summer breeze is on. So I'll put summer breeze away. Right now, we need the caramel pecan. We need that warm hug right now. We're all going through it, man.
And we need that comfort, right? We need the comfort.
Yes. I'm telling you, because especially, and again, I knew there were going to be a lot of officers' wives listening. And there are a lot of officers' wives out there going through what is going to be their CPSD in the future. Why? I dealt with the riots as an officer's wife in 1992. It feels right now like a machine gun of triggers that will not stop. Will not stop. So I am, you know, and so we have women listening. So now I have a question for both of you, and we're going to go over time.
Okay.
Because we do have a lot of officers' wives listening. And we have two different perspectives. We've got somebody from Washington where it is absolutely going crazy in Seattle. And I just want to pray for your governor because God bless him. I have a love-hate relationship with that man. That man, if you Google, because he's the one that went to Congress for Crystal Judson Brame. Okay? Crystal Judson Brame was the officer or the chief of police of Tacoma, Washington, that nobody believed his wife. Crystal, my husband's going to kill me. You're crazy. He's the chief of police. Listen, my husband's going to kill me. No, he's the chief of police. Guess what? Okay? So I don't know what my point was to that. Where was I going? Hold on. Now that I've started talking, the radio is going to go. Okay, there you go. We have a lot of officers' wives that are watching. So tell me, what advice would you give them? First, Marie, because that was where I was going with that, the perspectives. One is from the West Coast, and the other woman is from the East Coast. Different perspective. So, Marie, where you are, what advice would you give to these officers' wives, especially the ones with children and the ones that are pregnant with children, on how to guard their heart where they are in the middle of this battle?
Well, first of all, I would tell them to guard their heart, first and foremost, for their children, because their children need them. You know, if you're not strong for your children, then how is your children going to be? You know what I mean? They are, if everything is going to affect them, and they see you, if you break down in front of them or if you do something irrational in front of them, they are
Go deeper. What tools do they need to guard their heart? They already know they have to protect their kids. What tools do they need to guard their heart?
I would say probably, stay in prayer and in the Word of God first and foremost. Second, I would definitely find as much tools, you know, go to my website, www.mariewaldrop.com, go to the ambassador website, go to Angela Shelton's website, go to the How to Love a Cop website. Any information or anything that you can to read to help you stay focused on the here and now. And, you know, just anything to stay focused is what that keeps coming to me, is just stay focused.
Thank you so much, Renee. Oh. The same question. However, there's a lot of single wives or women out there that have boyfriends, and newly married women, people that are dating cops. And you're, like I said, on the West Coast, and it's just ironic to me, and I got to throw this in, that way back in the day of MySpace, do you remember Barbara?
Yes.
Marie? It was Justice for Barbara. Do you remember that page on MySpace, Marie? Well, let me tell you about. She was killed by her boyfriend, who worked at the police department in Minneapolis. Isn't it interesting that it started with that police department?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now,
right.
That was the worst that happened to that gentleman. Should never happen to him, okay? But look at the police department. There's been a problem for years. Now, look what's going on in the state of Washington, where Crystal Judson Brain was killed by the captain of the police department, okay? And look what's happening to it there. So you've got women in the state of Washington that knows the reality of being an officer's wife, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the same question to you. They're in the battle. And Renee, I'm covering you with prayer right now, because I'm asking you to go back to when you were in the middle of the battle. And what would you have done differently to make sure you guarded your heart to protect you from not having to go through so much chaos?
Oh, wow. Well, I think what I would do differently is I would have not been silent. I think what women need are a good support team, not people who will sit there and say, oh, you'll be fine. Get those people out of your life. You need to find someone who's going through something similar or who has gone through something similar and can be there to talk with you, that can relate to you. You really need that type of support team. Without that, you're just going to be feeling lost. It took me a very long time to find other women that were like me. And once I did, I felt a lot stronger. I didn't feel so alone. And my heart felt like it was healing.
That is super great. Thank you for that. I want to interject again before you close, Marie, that there are two things on Facebook that I want to highlight. One is a group, and it's called Faith Behind the Badge, a Christian police wife support group. And the other one that I want to highlight is the number two, Love Our Cops. And that is an actual page that has information that's solid to women that are in. They're not talking about the drama. She's talking about the foundation and how to keep it solid. So I want to share those. And at the same time, ladies, I'm going to check out, but please make sure you share with your audiences how they can get a hold of you on Facebook. Share the charities that you support. I want you to share groups that you support. And then, Marie, go ahead and end it. And Renee, thank you so much. We're blessed. We're totally blessed to have you.
Thank you.
Okay. You can get a hold of me, Marie Waldrop, on Facebook. MarieWaldrep. I have several pages under my name. You can also contact me at Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD on Facebook. You can also get a hold of me through my website at www.mariewaldrep.com or www.themightyphoenix.com. Renee, would you like to tell them how they can get a hold of you?
Yes. So you can basically just Google my name in Facebook, Instagram, any social media, and it's R-E-N-E, Crystal, K-R-Y-S-T-L-E, and Hamlet, H-A-M-L-E-T. I have a couple Facebook pages, but if you put that name in, they'll pop up. I have my Miss Washington for PTSD Facebook page. And at the end of the month, I will be launching my personal webpage, which will talk about PTSD, fibromyalgia, and other things I'm involved with. And I will be posting that information on my Facebook and on the Miss Washington for PTSD Facebook page.
I would also like to add to it, you just Google my name. You can go on to Amazon and Google or put in Marie Waldrep and find two books that I have written. And the charity that I support is the Pledge for Domestic Violence.
Yes.
Sabrina Pinion. She's a great lady, great job doing work against domestic violence of all form.
Actually, interject again. Renee,
okay.
why don't you share, because congratulations on being the Miss USA Transcontinental for Sabrina's pageant.
Yes. Yes.
For Transcontinental pageant for Miss Universe. So I'm really excited. So why don't you go ahead for the first time, if this is the first time, share what you know about the Pledge campaign against domestic abuse.
Yes. So the Pledge Against Domestic Abuse, they have one for men. So it would be for men who will take a pledge not to act like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, also to help educate. And there is one for women, for children, and for domestic violence against animals, which that one I'm super excited about because that's really a big thing that I like to get involved with, is to help animals.
So let me go ahead and interject again. Sorry, Murray. tell me, you're going to be going to Atlanta. And
yes,
this is going
I am.
To be having this year to go ahead and, but you're also going to be meeting Marie, our beautiful Marie, face to face. So tell us about the pageant and why you said yes and got involved, and about October and what's going to be happening.
Well, in October, I will be going to compete. There are, from what I know, interview where I'm going to talk about my platform, which is PTSD, evening gown. The one I'm really excited about is the intro costume. I think the pageant will be about like 3 or 4 days, depending. I haven't heard about the new date, but I'm really excited to meet all the women that are going to be involved because I think it's going to be two pageants at once. So I'll be going for the Universe Transcontinental title. And, yeah, I'm just super excited to meet the current title holders. I actually know one of the girls. I competed with her a couple of years ago in a different pageant. But I'm just super looking forward to it.
Who is that? Which one?
She just got crowned Miss Transcontinental this last year.
Okay. Her name is Anna? Is that Anna?
Yes. Yes, that's Anna.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, she just got married. Congratulations to her.
She did, and she graduated too.
Oh, wow. Awesome. You're kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Renee,
yeah,
I'm really excited.
A good year.
Yeah, a really good year. I'm excited, and so I'm going to ask on air, and I'm going to ask Marie, how would you guys like to prepare for another show and come up with topics to name, and maybe we can produce this quarterly or monthly or whatever it is that you think. Why don't you guys talk about it, because I really do believe that it's something that is needed for there to be a platform for women to be able to come to and listen to, because sometimes, you know, they can't get into the computer, but they can stick their earphones on and hear you. So why don't you guys consider it and think about that, because it would be an honor to be able to produce that for you. So that's all I need to say about that. And so Marie, why don't you go ahead and close us out in prayer or whatever. And again, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I will close this out in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for letting us have the show today and for the way it has all come about. Lord, we thank you for our producer, Maria, and we thank you for Renee. We asked you to bless us and keep us all safe, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to say thank you for joining us today on 4 Radio. I am Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD, Marie Waldrop. We will see you next time.
4Radio.com. Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. ToBeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Build4Radio.com. Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. ToBeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Grace Rios Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. Welcome to Soul Sister Sunday, a heart for worship following.
Now we're recording. Now we're recording because I just wanted to pop on here since we have time to record and talk to Becky Christensen. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and we just had a great show on PTSD, Becky.
Becky Christensen, huh?
Oh, gosh. Let's add. Let's add little gray with a star. I love that man.
Not even hyphenated.
hyphen Mapston. Human Mapston now. Yes. This is gonna be your fourth?
This is gonna be
fifth
anniversary. Oh, I thought you were talking about how many marriages.
No. No, good God, we don't have to talk about that, do we?
18th night. It'll be my fourth year anniversary.
Fourth anniversary.
In December.
You guys get craziness. And again, one of the reasons why we have this time and God said use it, so I called Becky. And what is going on in Washington?
Oh, my gosh, you forget. I'm in Montana, but my life has been for 28 years,
I
was
know.
In Washington. So, I don't know. They've got, Inslee has, you don't want me to go on my soapbox, but they've just got a lot of challenges over there with all the ties. In my opinion, I think it's the ties that bind, so to speak, and our governor's tied closely to Bill Gates, and he's tied closely to, you know, the Democratic Party, and so all those initiatives and movements that they're really pushing are very, I guess, at the forefront in Seattle, being a progressive city that it is. So they're dealing with a lot of repercussions from everything that happened with George Floyd, and, you know, as unfortunate that is, it's now moved into other things, and it's just a mess over there in Seattle. And Washington as a whole, they're just on extreme lockdown from COVID, just like you guys are in California. You know, they all made that, those governors over there, yours, Washington's, Oregon's, they all made that pact. And so regardless if the rioters are out protesting and looting and doing all they're doing without masks or without social distancing, everybody else still has to social distance.
It's just crazy.
Is that politically correct the way I said that? Does that sound okay? I don't even know any other way how to say it, because what I really want to say is kind of Western and ranchy, and we'll hold that for another day. But
we will. Because
really,
I'm right now. Go ahead.
No, I just say it's as far as our circuit and the rodeos that I traveled to in the summer. We are down to our final six in the whole year. So we have got late August rodeos that are from 46 rodeos, we are down to less than 10.
Oh, my
God.
So how are they going to do the NFR this year?
We have no idea yet. They had a meeting, the PRCA and the committees all had a meeting yesterday, and I know they're working on some stuff. But nothing has been set in stone yet, because they just keep hoping and just keep holding out that by July, when everything really kicks off at Cowboy Christmas time and although our cowboy Christmas in the Northwest is completely done with. They're hoping that maybe there might be some normalcy, but at the same token, I don't see that happening. So we'll be hearing from the corporate office, I'm sure, in July as to what they're going to do. Because every circuit, there's 13 circuits, and any contestant in a circuit to qualify for their circuit finals has to attend so many rodeos in order to qualify. Well, when you don't have any rodeos to go to, it's really hard to qualify for a circuit final. And we haven't even had the circuit finals that we were supposed to have in April. So there's so many variables going on that right now cowboys and cowgirls just want a rodeo. And PRCA is just trying to pick up the pieces behind it all and try to make it work.
It's crazy.
How's
crazy,
California?
Crazy. Oh, how is California? Well, you know, like I said, we had a show earlier, and I'm really grateful because, you know, I've been going through a lot in the last, 16 months. And California is crazy right now, and the triggers are crazy right now, and my body is killing me right now. And I didn't know how
to explain
it. Well, don't
speak those things into existence.
No. And then it hit me today, and reason why we do what we do is because we do have voices to explain what's going on in women like me. So we don't have to listen to the voices. We can remember the reality, okay? And part of the reality of women that walk through PTSD, because I have been able to maintain healing, and now thank you, and I want you to talk about what you sent me in the mail, but this is part of the reason why we're talking about this, because I want this on the air, is, you know, my body's changing, and I forgot, because normally I can do other things to preoccupy my healing, okay? I don't need a lot of help anymore, because once you get, you know, your bounce back time gets really good, right, when you're walking in a really good healing. This last few months, 16, 17 months, I'm watching myself, and I said to the doctor the other day, not even remembering that I used to feel this way when I was really younger in my first marriage, right? And the way that I could explain it was that it felt like, and you have had abdominal surgery, right? You've never had, when they went in and did your hysterectomy, even though they went in laparoscopically, they loaded you full of air, did they not?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know.
Afterwards, here, you may remember this. Usually women that go through surgery like that, afterwards their muscles ache and they really don't know why. It just hurts. And it's usually from the air that they inject into their abdominal cavity. They do it with laparoscopies. They don't do it with C-sections. Okay, but laparoscopies and stuff like that, where they have to go into your abdominal.
Okay.
And it just aches, so it feels in your muscles like this just ache. And when the girl,
well, I know what onset fibromyalgia feels like. I know what the onset of fibromyalgia, and that's what it felt like. You couldn't explain it. It just, everything ached.
Just now, what did you tell me a minute ago? Don't speak it into existence, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I took it out of my cup and I threw it away a long time ago. So I don't even like the word. I hate the word, right? Okay.
What, fibromyalgia?
So yes, I just hate it. It's me that hates it. However, because I have denied that fact, and it had taken me, again, when God's telling you to do something, listen. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And I always tell myself in those situations, when you're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, then quit feeling sick and tired and get out and exercise and eat better, because that starts the process in your mind and your gut.
Thank you. But it's taken me this long to go back to the reality that it doesn't matter if I don't like that word. whatever that word is what I'm going through. Do I have to stay here? No. I know this is temporary, okay? And that's why you sent me what you sent me, because on tomorrow, I'm going to be, well, I got to wait. I'm having the MRI done on the torn hip. But so Saturday morning, I'm going to be starting my 30 days to get my body back into shape, to come to
your healthy living from the inside out.
Yeah, that I'm dealing with. Stop avoiding the fact that, yeah, it may be out of my cup, and I may hate this word, but it is what I'm dealing with. I don't have to live here, okay?
Nope.
And where we all are in the world, it's a little nuts right now. But if you feel crazy, I applaud you. If you are feeling crazy,
yeah,
please know that I am applauding you, because truly crazy people don't feel crazy. And I am happy that we all feel crazy, because something around us is crazy, okay? And
well,
those poor kids that are out there, they don't think they're crazy. God bless them all.
Yeah, I don't know where, I just don't even know where it came from, but, well, actually I shouldn't say I don't know where, I do know, I know exactly where it came from, but I feel a lot of empathy for this generation of children that we have raised, because we are, what do they call, we're generation, I think, X, and they called us the latchkey kid generation, because
mm-hmm.
we were the first kids that were, you know, with the families starting to break down, stuck at home, my mom works and dad works, or just mom works or just dad works, and we entertained ourselves, and that became normal to us, I think, is part of the, in my opinion, part of the problem. It became normal to us because it was what we knew. And so in doing so, at least I've seen in my life, relying on just me or being content, it's one thing to be content with yourself, but it's also one thing to not recognize you do need your family. You do need people around you. You do need to have friends and those people that build you up around you to be a good support for you. You can't isolate yourself and say, oh, I'm okay all the time. It's not a healthy thing. And I think we have a generation of kids with iPads and iPhones and video games and everything that keeps them isolated, even if they're in a room full of people. And because of that, they don't know who they don't have an identity. They don't know what their gifts and talents are. They don't know how supported and loved they are, because they have tuned, it's almost like they've tuned the world out around them. And so these things come up, and I feel like they just want to be a part of something. They, even though some don't have it, some do. Does that make any sense at all? It's like some people have the support around them, and they're still isolated and alone and are looking for something. And then there's those that are alone and looking for something. And I think that's a lot of the mixture of this generation of kids.
Well, I think
and
it all stems
and they
from
need,
what you – I think it all stems from what you said. They're not getting – there's – wow, here's the word that I'm getting. Ready? There's a level of neglect.
Mm-hmm.
That, wow, there's a level of neglect.
It is.
That our parent, that these parents have not given to their children. One of the things that I have always thought and was always amazed with you is you always put your kids first. You always. And even that, our kids still are walking through. But that's what got, we're Christian. That's what happens, right? But these kids are being neglected. They stick an iPad in front of them, and their parents are not giving them that attention. What is that? What's that all about?
And, you know, and it's interesting, because as I look at my window across the street on the corner, there's a mom sitting outside. She's sitting outside with her children, two little boys, and a little
on
girl,
her phone.
Neighbor kids are over. No, she's not on her phone. She's interacting with
oh.
them.
Yay.
But that's the difference. We need more of that. We need more of that. I do put my kids first, but I also, when I raised my kids, didn't have cell phones like we have cell phones now. Like,
yeah.
I didn't. We still, when I was pregnant with Sabrina, we still had the flip phone, the big old thick flip phone, 30 minutes for 30 bucks, you know, that thing. You know what I'm talking about.
And so oh
we
my
didn't
gosh.
Have, I mean,
but
I,
those were cool phones, remember?
Oh, they were cool phones, and I sold the cooler phones when we first went digital, and I transferred everybody out of those old cool flip phones into the new digital flip phones. So,
oh,
you know, I was a part of that that technology transition, but we just weren't – it's distraction. It's neglect and distraction. And,
yeah,
you know, and I think it's a sad thing where, you know, I'm going to get on a tirade. Just be careful. Oh, our educational system to take away writing because we are a technology driven
now what is all that
society
about? When did all that happen?
My daughter was on the cusp of that. Yeah, my daughter was on the cusp of that. She knows how to write her name in cursive. She knows how to print, but she doesn't, you know, she doesn't write in cursive anymore. So she knows how to sign her name in cursive.
They don't even know how to print.
They know how to print. They know how to write just, you know, the alphabet and all that. But that's all they're teaching is print. They're not teaching cursive anymore in school.
Dear God.
At least last I heard. You know, how
gosh,
do you read
remember,
letters from your grandparents and people that
write
letters? You know, there's still people that write letters.
And that's
so,
what I'm thinking. Remember, my mother's handwriting, my grandmother's handwriting, they all wrote it the same way. And remember when we were younger and we got those letters that we had to trace to learn how to do cursive writing.
Yeah.
And people used to take pride. They took pride in their penmanship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I just think we're just a detached generation, and these young 20s and under are looking for purpose. They're looking for what's the word? Meaning. They're looking, and I don't even know so much as meaning, but they're definitely looking for purpose and their contribution. They're looking for contribution. And so, you know, they see this as a way of contributing good, bad, or indifferent. You know what I mean? And the unfortunate thing is I think the downfall and what I'm really struggling with right now is social media in general. And the abuses of social media and the verbiage that comes across and the abuse that comes across and all these keypad vigilantes that pop on their social media and decide they're going to whiplash somebody with differing opinions mm-hmm. than they have. And it's horrible because it is the younger generation that's doing it they're bullying their younger generation.
Oh, it's crazy. Now, the other day, I made a mistake and thought the statue was somebody else, but it wasn't really the statue that bothered me most about what had happened. It was the behavior that was going on, and I foresaw what was going to happen in this country. And sure enough, look at how they're defacing all of our statues. The history of this this country, Christopher Columbus, they're tearing down.
Yeah, and it's
this behavior
I think about it, and I'm like, I was actively involved in my kids' school through high school. I knew what they were teaching. I looked in their textbooks. I saw their homework. I was nosy. I was a nosy, nosy, nosy parent. Mm-hmm. And when Brandon went to college for the little bit of time that he did, even before he went to college, I sat him down. He doesn't really remember it now because he wasn't in college for very long, but I took him through a course at our church that was God and government, and to talk about the, you know, to be prepared so he knew when he had the onslaught of professors that were, you know, differing views or whatever, he had some solitude and some baseline to stand on with his faith when he went into school, so he could discern for himself truth from lies. But I think about all of these kids in school, and I could be completely wrong. So to the parents out there, if I am completely wrong, kudos to you if you're involved. But it feels like, and it appears to me like, and it seems like that a majority of these kids that leave to go to college, they get their student aid, they get their dorms, they get their credit cards from their parents or their debit cards that have access so they can take care of what they need to take care of, and it's sayonara. And we don't know see or find out anything that these kids are learning about in school. Until now, here we are, 10 years after this movement of trying to indoctrinate college kids with all these different theories, and here we are today. We're visibly seeing what happens when colleges take over and parents step back.
Okay, so it brings us back to that word, neglect. What the heck is going on with our parents, and why are we neglecting?
I don't think it's neglect. I don't think it's neglect. I think when it comes to colleges, I think it's like, sayonara, I'm free. I'm 18. I'm living on my own. I don't need you. I know my kid was like,
okay,
I'm good, Mom. I'm good.
My daughter went to fashion school, so it was really different.
Yeah. And so they're gone. Yeah. They're gone, coming back at Christmas time with maybe some homework, maybe not. Maybe their finals are all wrapped up. They come home, pat, 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 love, 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 spend time with the family, and back to school they go, and no clue what's going on at the college campuses. Yet we continue to fund them.
Right.
So
we're funding them we're funding them to poison our generation. Wow.
That is it. And so I am thankful. I am thankful, thankful, thankful that my children decided to find their education a different route.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion.
Wow.
I thought, I went to college, but I went to junior college. I didn't go to a major university, and I'm thankful that I did not. So it's unfortunate. That's just how I feel like maybe they're not strapped with debt. So they're not stuck into a system of needing to be dependent upon the government system for student loans to pay for their college education. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's interesting. I had an amazing talk with my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, and he's Black. And so everything going on, we had, probably a good 4 or 5 hour conversation the other night when I was over there. And it's just interesting because he's really into being debt-free. Not being stuck
mm-hmm.
and trapped by and riddled with debt. And when you take that aspect into and going back into the systems that were set into place, and how we were rewarded versus incomes and higher incomes, we were rewarded with good credit scores and credit.
Mm-hmm.
And when he posed that to me that way, I never really thought about it. And it's like, he's right, because then what happens when you get good credit, you get more debt. So is it really a reward, or is it really a way to stay attached to needing the government to help take care of things?
Well, no,
it was a good conversation.
But now that I'm thinking of the answer to that question, okay, because I've gone both ways, right? And now I'm this far over on the other side of the spectrum where I have no debt, don't have any credit card, which is now worse than bad credit.
Yeah, so there's that spectrum, right? There's that spectrum of where do you fall? Because I've been on both sides as well. So are we a cash-poor society but have good credit? Or are we bountiful with cash and have no credit? And I don't know. It's interesting. You look at the systems and you look at the way things, especially being in the housing market and real estate and knowing how, the loan system and that the housing market works. I don't know. It's just I'm really open to hear everybody's thoughts and opinions. But I just don't know. I just don't buy into the college and the college debt load. I just don't.
Hey, Marie's on with us.
Hi, Marie.
Hold on, let's get her on. Hold on, there she is. Are you there, Marie?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, I got to tell you, Becky, she did a great job. Marie did a good job hosting her show today. And
good job.
So tell Becky all about your show, Marie.
Oh, wow. All I can really say is it was amazing.
What did you guys talk about? I thought it was like on PTSD.
Yeah, it was on PTSD. And I had Renee, our new ambassador, to share about her story. And so she shared some of her story. And but she really enjoyed being able to share, and she said, Maria, she would like to do it monthly if you would want to do it monthly.
Okay. Sounds good. I love it. I'm so proud of you, Marie.
And,
it's awesome to watch you.
Oh, well, thank you. I agree with her as far as there's so much information that, you know, you can go and read it and you can, well, but just to hear other people that's actually gone through it and it coming through their perspective, I think helps other people better.
Good, which brings me full circle now, Becky. So, Marie, I didn't tell you that we have a new sponsor and I'm going to start this new thing on Saturday. So tell me what I'm doing, Beck.
I totally forgot. We went on a squirrel moment. I don't know where we went.
This is perfect because it came full circle and look at who we have on the show and we got to find out if it's safe for Marie to try. But why don't you tell me now? The box is here and let's do it.
Well, what you got is the Arbonne 30-day healthy living, being healthy from the inside out kit. And so what's all in that? Arbonne has been around probably as long as Mary Kay. I mean, it is a network marketing company, but it's been around. And many years ago, I tried some of the stuff, but I was involved with Mary Kay, and I thought it was just makeup. Well, they did a relaunch, and I don't know when the relaunch was, but it caught my attention, and I started seeing a lot of posting about it, so I started following some of the consultants, and I was really impressed with what I saw. So I saw a gal down in southern Idaho, and bless her heart, she's 22, super young and excited and just trying to be an entrepreneur. She's going, finishing up grad school, you know, just she's a go-getter. And I wanted to support a go-getter that's trying to make themselves successful. And so I thought, you know what, if I'm going to try this product, I'm going to support her and I'm going to be her customer. And I'd watched her on Instagram probably for a good 5-6 years. She was a Lewiston Roundup queen a few years back, I think 2009 or 2010. So we followed each other because of rodeo. And then after she gave up her title, I just still saw her feeds and stuff. So anyway, I reached out to her. And I got the information back in December, but I was dealing with you and I and everyone, all of us know that you cannot create a lifestyle change until you're mentally ready to create a lifestyle change. You have to be ready to say, okay,
so
I'm done.
True.
I'm at my tipping point and I'm ready. And you can say you're ready and still not be ready. So it's like your mind and your body have to line up and you know, and no one else can tell you when that is. So for me, even though I signed up in December, I was trying to be gung-ho, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Then COVID happened I just got depressed and I put on 10 pounds and I was just miserable because I was stressed out. Like, what the heck is going on? So
I'm right,
I finally got on the podcast. Well, and so what the products are is Arbonne is in a nutshell, it's all natural and I've switched and realized with the skin issues that I had after I left Vegas, I've dealt with dermatitis around my face since I left Vegas in December. And it's always in the winter time when I get up here in Missoula, I battle it, but it was really, really bad this year. So that on top of being sick, I decided I needed to get away from dairy. So I've really been trying to rid my diet of dairy. And so with that, that's milk-based, anything milk-based. And you don't realize until you're looking at ingredients how much milk product is in everything we eat, from soups to, dairy, you know, yogurts to ice cream. You know, there's just dairy in everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So I decided, and I'm also knowing from being a blood type that I am, I'm a positive blood type, that I would do better on a vegetarian diet. But I love meat, so it's just never going to happen. But I decided that I'll at least get rid of whey. I'll get rid of whey. And whey is always the protein that I used when I was lifting and really, you know,
right,
training for Mrs. America and Mrs. Montana and everything else I did. So I decided I'm clearing out all my products, and I went with Arbonne because it's plant-based. It's they've banned over, I think there's like over 2,000 ingredients that they have banned out of their products, which is more than the countries that they're in require you to ban. So, you know, it's worth mm-hmm. looking into. And I also believe that your gut, you know, it's very true that you have a brain-gut connection, and your microbiome, your brain and your gut communicate. So when someone says, oh, trust your gut, well, your gut is telling your brain something's wrong.
Right.
So there is, and it's viably true that there is, it's called the brain-gut axis. And there is an axis where your brain triggers things to your gut, and they send signals back and forth to each other. And when your diet is off, and when everything is off in your system and it's not running properly, it's not firing. It's like a car, not cylinders, not firing off all the cylinders. So it's not running. It's kind of puttering. The engine's puttering. So the whole goal is to get your gut functioning properly. So that's with probiotics and prebiotics and, you know, plant-based products and natural products, things that will give your body an opportunity to process through and not hold on to all the junk and get rid of the junk. So that's what your 30-day program is that you have. Now, the great thing about this is you get two different bags of protein. I picked chocolate and vanilla for you. They have some other ones. But the amazing thing is, especially for you, Maria, since you are an M&M and a holic,
I know.
when you need something sweet, that vanilla protein makes the best with a little bit of agave nectar and some oat flour and a little bit of cinnamon and some chocolate. It makes the best chocolate chip cookie dough for you to eat. And it's all protein-based.
Uh-huh.
And it makes amazing chocolate muffins, high-protein muffins. I mean, this stuff, and that's the reason why the simple reason I'm sold on it is because I have a sweet tooth. And when I want to bake, I can actually bake healthy now and enjoy it.
Right.
And not, I mean, cheesecake. I mean, so many different things. So many different chocolate-covered strawberries. Yeah, you name it. So there's all these different recipes. But what you have is you've got some detox tea. You got fiber boost, because I can guarantee you you're not getting enough fiber. And when you're not getting enough fiber, you're not getting things through your intestinal tract and, you know, out the other end. So it's going to help regulate you.
That's one thing I don't have an issue with, but no, I think the fiber thing is an issue. So I started eating applesauce. Doesn't that have fiber?
That's good.
Well, and fiber also, it helps fill you up. You know,
yes.
it helps fill you. And it's so beneficial. It has so many benefits. People that have diabetes, they don't really understand, you know, like some of the fruits that have sugar in it, and they're like, oh, well, I can't have that. Well, the fiber outweighs the sugar, but, you know, and it wraps around the sugar and expels, you know.
Right.
So
yeah, like oranges, they say do not drink orange juice because it's drinking straight sugar, but if you're craving it, eat an orange, because the skin and the texture and everything in the whole part of the fruit helps slow down the impact of the sugar to your glycemic index, and so and your blood sugar and your whatever all that is, you know how it affects, you know, Maria, your insulin levels, like your bloodstream.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into your bloodstream as fast.
Mm-hmm.
But
I want you to hear this.
Arbonne is not a diet program. Just so you know, this is not. I'm not going to tell you this is not about, you know, a weight loss program. This is just about getting your mental, your body functioning and eating healthy and clean. The program
mm-hmm.
that you're put on with it takes out all the gluten, the wheat, the sugar. It's a pretty, I mean, I thought it wasn't going to be as strict and rigid as it is, but it is a pretty rigid diet for 30 days or a lifestyle change
mm-hmm.
for 30 days, because it is taking all the crap out of your body. So
right.
Debbie is doing it. She is down 7 pounds of this morning. And
wow.
My son started yesterday, and he was pretty, you know, he thought that he really likes the smoothie that he made. Now, he also has some fizz sticks in there, and those fizz sticks, I sent you the little program and how you take it. Just so you know, I get up in the morning and I have a cup of detox tea, and I throw the digestion in the detox tea. There's little packets of Digestion Plus. I throw one of those in there. Or with my tea, I make my big Arbonne 32-ounce water bottle. I fill that up, and I put two fizzes in those and my digestion if I don't put it in my tea.
Okay.
What you're going to find as you take those things is you're going to come off of coffee. I barely can drink
cup
of coffee anymore.
Okay.
So that is, I mean, that's the main thing. But I mix it, like, for instance, I have the pomegranate. I take a pomegranate fizz with one scoop of my pre-workout drink, and I mix that together, and I go to the gym. So I don't have to do two scoops of the pre-workout and be jittery all day. So, I mean, it just, it's really light. It's kind of carbonated, kind of just gives you, it's just a good, you know, and then you can take it as a snack during the day. If you need a snack, it'll fill you up because of the, you know, carbonation and the fizz in it. So
right.
I love it. You can mix it with, you can mix it. I mean, you'll find in that group that I add in, you can, there's so many different, there. That's the other thing that I loved about this company is they are so creative. Like there's so many different recipes, so many different things people try with all their products. It's not boring like a lot of programs are. You can find
now,
ways
that the same stuff
to make it work and enjoy
waffles?
It. I'm sorry, what?
Is that the same stuff that you made the waffles with? I seen you did a video a
yep.
couple of days ago.
Yep. Yep.
And that was pretty cool.
Yep. Two scoops of protein and some egg whites and some vanilla extract and a teaspoon of baking soda. And they make bomb waffles. So that's what I like about it. That's why, you know, you're going to get going on it because you've got to start taking care of that little body of yours.
Yeah, because listen, you hear this? What's it sound like?
What is that?
That sounds like peanut M&Ms.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know,
sounds like maracas to me, right?
Is that
these
something
are
for
all,
Greece?
These are all the pills.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the other thing that's great about Arbonne is everything's in powder form, so you throw it all in a shake or a drink and you're good to go. I mean, there are some things that are pills, but
No, these pills, I can't take these pills. These are for all the crap they say is wrong with me. So I've got to do this.
Well, you need to get off those.
I'm not taking them. The only one I'm taking is the muscle relaxer because I know this is a lie. This is a lie to me, from my perspective.
After I had surgery, after I had the surgery and everything, and I'm thinking, you know, I can't wait to get off all these pills I'm on. And as of today, I still have only been taken off of one, and that was my metformin for diabetes. And so I'm still waiting.
They took you off the metformin, but they didn't take you off anything else?
No.
Interesting, because the metformin is actually a natural product.
Are you serious?
Because I was on metformin. Yeah.
Wow.
Of course they took her off of a natural one.
It's a derivative. It's a derivative of a plant. It's a derivative of a plant.
Put back on it?
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is it's not going to harm you. It's actually, I told my sister when she was deciding if she was going to go check for diabetes, I said, they're probably going to put you on metformin. Metformin's not a big deal. And that's what I told her. I said, research it. It's a natural occurring, from a natural occurrence of a plant that I can't remember the plant, but that's the one reason why I allowed them to put me on it way back when before I had my hysterectomy. Because it helps aid with weight loss. But you'll get off of them, Marie. You've had an amazing comeback, so I'm proud of you.
No, I can't be on these drugs. I mean, I'm taking the muscle relaxer at night, but wow. But, Marie, it does make sense what you said. I'm telling you, I take it, and I'm out. I cannot take it when I'm at my dad's because I would never be able to wake up. Okay, I don't know how people function on this stuff. It's just absolutely incredible. So, no, I'm excited to start this on Saturday, and it's time. I've got to go to Greece, and I've got to at least get 20 pounds off before I go to Greece.
Okay. Are you exercising? Are you doing any exercising? Are you walking?
I'm just walking, but that's not enough. I need to go pick up the bike. Shannon has a bike for me, so I'm going to go pick it up. And I love – I love doing the 12 miles from Newport Beach, California, to Huntington Beach and back. But with the crazy world right now, I haven't been doing that.
Are you able to bike ride down there?
Right now, yes, but anything is happening whenever. Yeah, they opened it up. You can ride the bike trail.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
But the safety precautions are what you got to look at.
Yeah, there's crazy people right now. So where else could you ride your bike? You know, but I can ride it back and forth to my dad. And that's not 12 miles, but it is, you know, 3 round trip.
Well, you don't have to do 12 right now. 3 is probably great.
Yeah, I know, but I like the ambiance of the ocean, baby.
Ocean breeze. You don't have to go gung-ho. Ease into it.
if you go right for the 12, start off with, you're going to say, oh, forget this, because you done killed yourself the first day.
It's a pretty easy ride. When you guys come here, we're going to do it. It's a cool ride.
I loved it, bike ride.
Oh, I love it too. In San Clemente, I was wondering, because you really can't bike ride in San Clemente. And all of a sudden, everybody was riding their bikes, and I realized that all of these bikes are motorized. Because it was nothing but hills, hills in San Clemente. So there's no straight.
Gray bought one. He came home with a motorized bike because he thought it was cool, right? He thought, oh, this is cool. I'm like, Gray, what is the point of you wanted a bike to get in shape. What is the point of a motorized bike? Doesn't that totally defeat the purpose? Like, I can see it as a mode of transportation instead of your car, but this is not a workout bike. Needless to say, he got rid of it.
Funny.
I think that's where the cowboy that wanted to get in shape and the crazy inventor thinking it's a cool invention got kind of confused.
Funny. Oh my gosh.
Hi, little puppy dog.
Here's the puppy dog. How's the new addition?
That dog is so adorable.
This little puppy dog brings, I don't know if he brings Sabrina joy or anxiety yet. He's supposed to be her therapy dog. But I think she is his therapy human right now.
Right.
So.
It's a little baby.
He is such a baby. He's learning to walk on a leash. And he's learning to be a dog. It took him a week to warm up to Gray. Now he and Gray are best friends.
Okay.
And he's getting a little confused. He's in the midst of getting his backyard built. Gray's got to finish it this weekend. So yesterday it was nice. So I left him out on the back porch. I took his kennel, and his kennel and the little divider from the kennel fits across the back porch steps, so he can't go downstairs and go under the deck or take off. And I can leave the door open on in the kitchen, and I can work, and he can be outside. He's getting a little confused on where to poop again, because he comes to the front door and rings the bells and goes outside. But after yesterday and being able to go poop out on the deck, he got confused, and so he runs to the back door. So, which I see he just did again. He used his little pee pad back here. So I put the pee pad at the back door. But we still, when we're training him, take him to the front door. So, you know, it's give and take, you know. As long as he's heading towards
the
outside.
The back door.
Oh, that's true, too. Because I figure as long as he's heading to one of the doors, he's in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I've got the door blocked off right now with it open. Yeah. He'll be good once he gets out and he can go in the yard, because he knows he's got to go in the yard. He just can't get there in the back door.
Right.
So, but he's a good puppy dog. He really is. He really, really is.
Cute.
Yeah.
Very, very cute.
Well, I am going to let you lovely ladies go, because I need to get back to finishing.
Well, we're gonna
I got to go mow my lawn.
Yep, we're going to go ahead and go. Marie, again, I'm very proud of you. You did a great job today, and we're blessed to have Renee, and you guys just take care of yourselves, and I'll see you on the other side.
Yes.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.